I was surprised how many people so quickly just seemed like they lost all hope and they were worried and scared and were like, that's it, we're done. You know, there's nothing to hold on to now. We've been betrayed and forsaken. And I just really don't think that's the case at all. Trump is now a marked man. Like, he doesn't just get to walk off the scene and go enjoy his retirement at his little, you know, Mar-a-Lago resort. He's now a marked man. You know, the system has his name, and they're not going to just let him walk away unscathed and, you know, retire in peace. I still firmly believe all the information about these Luciferians is going to be brought forward and to the front, along with the information of what they've done to our children. And I think that the military is who's going to be bringing that forward.
If you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your health and your immunities, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense. And for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight illnesses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe. As long as you're taking a high quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exist. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. This is the magic. When you free up your body's resources from fighting free radicals, they then can focus their attention on healing. Every person has different needs, but the magic begins when your body can start to heal. So now it becomes clear, you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with black seed oil and curcumin. Go to sarahwessel.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful. Also available by diffuser with ultra refined C60 oil to safely get directly into your lungs. It's also the best way to help your family pets by just being in the same room. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use the current coupons to save money when you buy. Patrons also receive a 10% discount. You can find that code at patreon.com/sarahwessel. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Jesse Zaboder coming back, and we are going to talk about what's going on from her perspective. And of course, I always have to have my perspective thrown in there. But we're going to talk about the hit piece again that the Rolling Stone magazine did on me, because it was, they specifically discussed the interview that we did together. And she's going to talk about how that was actually code and why and what it really meant. She's also going to explain how the inauguration was the strangest thing she's ever seen. Something that I would not see, a normal person would not see, but she saw. And all the little details that made it the strangest event ever in the history of our country, for sure. And also, what other things have been going. Many people have reported about all the other strange things, so we talk about some of those. But a lot of these strange things you probably wouldn't know unless you knew how to read code and how they do these things and what these ceremonies really mean. So she really gives us some insight that normally we wouldn't have. And then we talk about what kind of the future holds. This is a two-parter, so it's pretty long. So I recommend to watch both parts. And if you are not familiar with who Jesse Zaboder is, please, please, please watch some of those first shows that I've done with her, because I see these comments that I get from people that are like, who's this lady? How does she know anything? And they're just really disrespectful. But they never listen when I tell them to go listen to the first episode so you have context of who she is. You know, they'll argue with what she says and all this stuff. It's like, just go watch that first before you have all your opinions. It's just amazing how people won't go through the work necessary to learn, but they have all these opinions and they want to make sure everybody hears them, but they're so ignorant and they won't take the effort to get the knowledge they need and put things into context. So don't be that person. Please just go watch that first. And before we begin, I want to give you an update on my situation. Many people know that I have been heavily targeted, more targeted than most. Of course, Twitter, I was taken down. And then my Patreon was suspended all last week. But my website was all taken down. And I was one of the only ones that had my website taken down. So we talk about that in this interview too, why that could possibly be. But I have good news and that I am making progress. It's taking forever to get it transferred. But part of the process has been confirmed that they're done. Now I'm just waiting for the name transfer. So hopefully no one's blocking it and we can get that done. I am up at sarahwestall.org. Can get all of my work on sarahwestall.org. In fact, if there's a link someplace, just change it with .org and you'll be able to get to the old anything that's anywhere, just changing .com to .org. But sarahwestall.com should be up pretty soon too, I am hoping, because that's all my podcast feeds and probably about half of my podcast feeds, although most of them that I could get to have been changed already to .org. Okay, also the second thing, replacing Patreon, because I have been suspended starting February 1st, I will not be getting any money. Well, actually, I didn't get any money since, well, January. I get paid the beginning of January, so I'll get paid supposedly beginning of February. Well, I won't get that because they suspended my Patreon account. So I am looking to get something in replace, and I have something that's really good. I'm using these new community tools that are for organizations and different groups, and it's taking some time, but I really think it's going to be worth it. It is really amazing, the tools that are out there now for companies and groups and people to use. It is literally like having your own private Facebook kind of set up. It's even better than Facebook, I believe. You can have all sorts of tools that Facebook doesn't even have. Well, because they don't want to give you those tools, but we can have them. So in the future, we'll see what we can do with it long term. But for now, I'm really just hoping to get a full replacement for Patreon and to be able to announce that super soon. Just it takes some time to get this set up, and I'm gearing for, you know, this weekend's going to be hardcore working on getting that up for people and to be able to announce as soon as possible that it is all up and being replaced. So the other thing is, those of you suffering from all these new mask mandates, I just feel for everybody. I feel for myself, I feel for everybody. I do have some more options in the Truth Mask store. So you can look there, new colors, new options. So go to that. It's under Sarah Westall under shop and sarahwestall.org under shop and check those out. And let's be walking billboards of truth so that we can get past this tyranny. It's incredible. Anyways, let's get into this interview with Jesse Saboter.
Hi, Jess. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, Sarah. Good to be here.
Well, I think everybody wants to hear your input on what you think is going on. It's a really kind of sad day for a lot of people and frustrated day because they believe that there was a lot of hope. And, you know, hope is never a plan. I don't think hope is a plan, but hope is something very nice to have. And it's a positive view on things, but I just don't know if there feels like there's much to be positive about. But can you give us an overview of where you think things are at and what's really going on?
Yeah, I think, you know, I would first off just encourage people to, you know, not worry, not be afraid. Should we be cautious? Absolutely. But I think that things are not done yet. And, you know, there's so much evidence out there for, you know, things that we were putting our hope in that I really believe we need to just use this time to remember those things and to stand firm and not fall into that deep hole of despair right now. I was surprised how many people, so quickly just seemed like they lost all hope and they were worried and scared and were like, that's it, we're done. You know, there's nothing to hold on to now. We've been betrayed and forsaken. And I just really don't think that's the case at all. And so, you know, what I want to talk about today, you know, are the reasons why I don't feel that's the case. You know, the first thing I guess I'll address is, you know, has the president forsaken or walked away or, you know, not done his duty or betrayed us? I really don't feel that's the situation at all. going into this, you know, going against the swamp, all the people who have been whistleblowers, including our, you know, our president has been somebody who's listened to the whistleblowers and gone against the system, which is, you know, the Luciferian Brotherhood, who have been behind the scenes running everything. Any individuals who do that, you know, it's like you automatically are putting your life and the life of all your loved ones on the line. And it's not just that, you know, these people to get back will kill you. You know, they will capture you or people in your family and horrifically torture you for as long as they can keep you alive, you know, until the day you die. So, you know, knowing that cost was counted, knowing that, you know, Trump is now a marked man, like he doesn't just get to walk off the scene and go enjoy his retirement at his little, you know, Mar-a-Lago resort. He's now a marked man. You know, the system has his name and they're not going to just let him walk away unscathed and, you know, retire in peace. So, you know, I don't see that that's the situation, that he just walked away thinking, oh, no, I'm done. I'm going to just retire and end of story. The second thing with that is that there's a lot of things he put in place throughout his term, as well as at last minute, that are going to allow things to continue in the direction they're continuing, which does not necessarily mean, you know, they continue as with Biden as president. What I see happening is that things have all been set and put in place so that currently our military is in control and is in active, an active position where they are going to be governing temporarily through this transition time. You know, I still firmly believe all the information about these Luciferians is going to be brought forward and to the front, along with the information of what they've done to our children. And I think that the military is who's going to be bringing that forward.
I want to bring up a couple things that have happened that really makes it seem like there's more going on here. And my understanding is that Biden didn't get a plane. He had to go on a commercial plane. He doesn't have the nuclear codes, which people could say it's because his mental faculties aren't all there, but he doesn't. He didn't get that. They have the military all surrounded Washington, D.C. It looks like an occupied force, which they claim it's for their protection. But, you know, who knows? And then the inauguration, from what I am understanding, I've hearing people in England saying it aired 10 hours before it happened. So it was just this big theater with nobody there.
Yeah. So, I mean, even if we start with that first one with the airplanes, you know, we have to ask, why was Joe not given the honor of every single president who's, you know, stepped into this office? Why has he not been given the same privileges or honor? It wasn't just that, you know, he didn't get to come in on Air Force One. Every, you know, president, when they're done serving, they leave on Marine One. Well, Trump did not leave on Marine One. Trump left on Air Force One. So why is he leaving on Joe's, you know, ride in? We have to ask that question. You know, one of the things that Jeff and I brought out on Ride On Radio was indeed the fence that's surrounding and the troops that are there. You know, they say it's for the inauguration, but, you know, with that, like, we brought out the fact that the people who put the fence together, the bolts that are holding the fence are on the outside. So how does that keep them safe, those who are inside the fence? You know, it doesn't keep them safe. All people have to do is remove those bolts to get in.
Well, the whole thing is weird because I've also heard reports that the military guard the National Guard was walking around with guns that were unloaded. They didn't even have loaded weapons.
I've heard some different stories on that, so it's hard to know like if they're loaded or not.
What did you hear?
I heard some of it that they were, like that it was, you know, that these people, it's possible that they could be on vacation from Gitmo temporarily. I called it earlier today, like they're on Gitmo recess, they get to go outside. But that's why all the guard is there, is to keep them from running away or keeping others from trying to, you know, do a jailbreak. It's weird that all of them were gathered in one place, and, you know, it's all the same people who, you know, were either at the funeral, or we know that all the people there are part of this Luciferian swamp. Like there wasn't any neutral or any people that, you know, we know our white hats who were there, like everybody who was there, we have identified as being part of this Luciferian swamp.
Well, wasn't there some of the other senators there that aren't part of the Luciferian swamp, or no, did they not show up?
Not in any of the footage that I saw. It is possible, but the footage that I saw, there wasn't anybody there that I saw who was neutral or that I knew was a definite white hat.
Like a Rand Paul or some of those other senators that weren't in the tunnels and were walking around going, what the heck?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was interesting. I'm not for sure on that.
You didn't see any of them.
You didn't see any. I did not see any.
That's very interesting.
If other people did, it would be interesting to find that out.
Now, what is your network? Because I know you get communication, and I know you have, you know, networks of communication that the average person and the average journalist, independent journalist, does not have. So what are you hearing that is unique that other people might not have heard yet?
I did a show this morning where we brought out some of the stuff, the comms that were coming out through Glamis Castle. So that would be Somerset Belanoff and her team. One of the things that they validated, you know, people were concerned. They didn't see, you know, Trump deploying the emergency broadcasting system. However, what's interesting is yesterday Glamis Castle put out a post that confirmed that he had deployed Vibestat. And Vibestat is a name for, it's going to be the global broadcasting system. So it goes beyond satellite, beyond AI. It goes beyond. You know, it's like a global network on the US. So they confirmed, this is coming from Luciferian sources, confirmed that Trump deployed that system. So there is a global broadcasting system that has been put into place and is right now available for his use.
And they can't hack into it because it is beyond their security.
Correct.
Now, my question for you is, you also look at code. You can tell codes that are being mm-hmm. saying and things that are going on beyond just, you know, everything's a charade and a game. What codes have you seen from Trump? And then what codes have you seen from maybe Nancy Pelosi and some of the others?
Yeah, I saw... You know, these were not the Luciferians that I grew up with as a child. The people that I know are very high level black magic, you know, witches, warlocks. They have high level demonic spirits that they utilize their power and things like that. And you know, although I do believe the inauguration was a Masonic ritual, it went along with other ones or former ones with other presidents. So, you know, we saw things like, you know, certain women were all wearing the same color, the purple. We saw, you know, the book that he was to place his hand on, that's supposed to be a Bible. But that was very interesting itself. At one point, you know, pictures that I saw, it was the straps which had crosses on them, it was turned upside down. So it made it satanic crosses instead of Christian crosses. But that was one of the things when I asked people for pictures of that book, you know, supposedly they were screenshots all from, you know, the inauguration footage. But there were so many where the book and the straps were pointing in different directions. And what you have to understand is that, you know, as we watched the inauguration, we didn't see, you know, Biden's wife flipping that book one way or the other. You know, she came onto the scene, it was held in position, and supposedly, you know, he put his hand and took his oath on it. Well, if that's the case, then how come there's so many different screenshots that show those straps and the crosses in different directions, you know?
What was strange is my daughter was watching it, and I just did not want, but she was sitting there, and all of a sudden when he was supposed to take the oath, this her video glitched. And then it started going again after he was done with the oath. And we were trying to figure out if other people's glitched or not, but we thought that was very strange.
Yeah, it was almost like they pieced together, you know, like there was more than one take.
Yeah.
And so that was something that I caught. The other thing is, you know, there was no gloating. There was no, you know, like, yes, we've beat Trump. You know, I mean, think of how Hillary was, you know, thinking that she won 4 years ago. Okay. Like that's the type of attitude that is prominent among these people, especially when they've won a victory, you know. And what you saw was, I mean, it was beyond peaceful and quiet. There was really this somber attitude that was almost like they were defeated. Like there was just no gumption, no, you know, no claim to victory, no, you know, like we've defeated our enemy type thing. So I was just sitting there like, who are these people? Like, it's literally like they've been stripped of all power, authority, like something else is going on. Like these are not the people that I know. You know, I was just kind of like, huh. I was like, this is really interesting.
So what do you think that is? Why? I mean, what are some of the, I know you don't know, because you're saying it just seems odd. Is it because they know they cheated and everybody else knows they cheated? Or, and so they just like, everybody knows we're playing a game and this is really stupid. Or do you think that they're in, I mean, why would they go through the motions if they knew they were in a lockdown situation and their time was, I mean, why would they even do this? Or do you think that they weren't really who they are, or what? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, those are my two possibilities. Either it's not really them. And, you know, one of the other strange factors that I'll throw in there is that, you know, these end time rituals or anything that you're supposed to go through for your life that is a main thing, you know, like they do have backups. So originally Hillary was the one who was supposed to, you know, take on the presidency. She practiced every single ritual because it's not just an inauguration. Like they're doing a ritual during these events. And so those are all practiced because they have to be very perfect and precise. There were so many mistakes that it's like, and these people, they don't make mistakes, okay? One, because you know, if you make a mistake, you're most likely gonna end up tortured and dead, okay? So mistake is not, you know, it's not in your vocabulary. There were so many, it was ridiculous, where I was like, I'm embarrassed for Satan. Like I would not, as Satan, I would not claim any of these people because they just, I mean, it was.
And you've never seen that before. Correct. I mean, in other rituals.
I've never seen. I mean, I've seen people make mistakes at rituals, and it's like, if you.
Sure.
So the times I've seen it, you know, it's like, say someone, you know, somebody was walking into the ritual and they tripped and fell. Okay. All of a sudden, every single eye is on them and everybody is correcting or like giving them like this death stare. Okay. Because they all know somebody's going to have to pay the consequence for that mistake. And so you didn't see any of that. There wasn't like, you know, where the people who, when they made those little mistakes, you know, like say she accidentally had the Bible turned the book turned the wrong way. Nobody seemed to even notice. There was no attempt to correct. There was nothing like that. Like everything was just very laid back. You know, and I'm just sitting here like, huh, they're doing a ritual, but they're making lots of mistakes and nobody's correcting one another. Why is that? You know, like you just don't do that. So that was a trigger for me. So that right there, you know, made me really question either they're having to forcibly put this on as a show, which is what we've been told, is that this is a show, or it's not them. Like it's people who didn't go through all the ritual prep, who have no clue, you know, of what should happen at each step in the Masonic ritual. So those are the only two possibilities. Which one it is, I don't know. But
did you get to see him actually doing the oath? Because we didn't get to see it. That's when it glitched and then it started again.
Yeah, I did not get to see him actually doing the oath either.
You know, we're trying to figure out if anybody actually saw the oath, because maybe that didn't happen. I mean, I don't know.
That's a good possibility. We should put that out there and be like, did anybody see him actually, or hear him? Did anybody hear him actually take the oath? You know, we heard the young lady that read the poem, and there was another gentleman who read a poem. I heard both of them.
Well, I heard Garth Brooks sing. I thought it was sad. It's like a song that sang when somebody dies, but it was really nice.
Right. So that's another weird indicator, right? Like, why are they having, you know, music like that at this huge celebration? Like there was no honor, like he's becoming the president of the United States, you know, it's like, there was just no honor in it. No, it was not like a regular ceremony.
It was very strange. Well, they had it airing on YouTube, and they had about 3-1 difference. 75% of the likes, dislikes were dislikes compared to 25% likes. I mean, it was like 3,000 likes to like 15,000 or 12,000 dislikes. It's a huge difference. And they had the link up for a while and then they unlisted it. And maybe that's why it was too embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's lots of possibilities out there. And at this point, we don't know which one it is. But I think it's good to bring it all forward because, you know, it really, you know, I think it adds hope to people that, you know, this was not your regular inauguration. Something is amiss in that. And, you know, do I think it's going to continue and that he's going to have 4 years? I don't. But, you know, I could be wrong, you know. But to me, it wasn't like the system where, you know, I think if Hillary had gotten her foot back in there, you know, then yeah, we may have had 4 years of her as a leader. But I'm not seeing that. I'm not getting that vibe. What I saw was brokenness, you know, that it didn't seem like an administration that's going to pull themselves together and be able to comparably run our country at this point.
I want to talk about the media a little bit. I want to first talk about the hit piece they did in Rolling Stone magazine with me. They did a hit piece on me, but they brought up the interview with you, and you said that specific quote, and I don't remember exactly what the quote was, but it was a, they were communicating. And what were they doing? What were they communicating?
Yeah, that was interesting. They specifically brought out the, what they called the conspiracy theory about the tunnels and the children rescues. And I believe in that piece, we had been talking about how
the protectors,
when Congress was meeting, yeah, they had fled into the tunnel system. And that I had brought up the fact that, you know, when they did that, each of these elite people, they have protectors that, you know, are, they're comparable to bodyguards, but these people, you know, not only protect them, but in a situation like that, the protectors are the ones who know the tunnel system and would be able to get these individuals through that tunnel system out, you know, through an exit and to safety. But, you know, I know that our military was aware of entrances and exits, and, you know, they were told that usually these people show up a night or two beforehand to be making plans and things like that. So, you know, I believe what happened is that, you know, these people went down in that, into the tunnels, and they were met, or they were not met by their protectors. So they had no way of getting out of that tunnel system, which is why they went back into the Capitol. I fully believe that was not their original plan. You know, I think that they were exiting and Antifa was supposed to come in and destroy the building. And instead, they were forced to go back in because they didn't know their way around those tunnel systems. On top of, they, you know, knew that there was military at the entrances and exits. So
why do you think they weren't tipped off by their protectors somehow?
Because the protectors have been wanting out. But if the elite know that they are trying to get out or defect, they will kill them. So the only way for the protectors to walk away from the system with their lives was not to say anything and to simply just not show up. And now they have to be in hiding until, you know, like they know that the other protectors, you know, the system now is kind of, or let me put it this way. The elite now know that some of the protectors are not loyal. Okay. But if they question any of the protectors who are still in the system, it automatically will mark them that they distrust the protectors. In that world, the protectors are the only individuals you can trust. You trust them with your life. And if you, it's found out that you distrust them, then none of the protectors will serve you, because it's a generational position that is passed down throughout the generations, and it's a very honored position. You know, you are the person in the system in charge of people's lives. And, you know, so it's a very honorable thing. So if they question any of the protectors who are remaining in the system, then they put themselves in this position where nobody will serve them. Not a single one will serve them. So they can't question any of the remaining protectors about the ones who walked away. So they don't know who's loyal to them and who's not. It's kind of a double bind for them right now.
So that was just extra interesting. And I wonder why did they use that magazine and
go ahead. So that magazine is a very common one for communications. So, you know, the protectors who are still in the system, and there's reasons that they're still in there, they have to make it look like they're still loyal. So one of the ways to do that is to turn over information about who's leaking information. Okay, so the piece that we did, you know, nobody else is giving out information about those protectors except for me. So that was why they were alerting people to watch your show and that I'm the person who's giving out information about things. So
interesting.
That's why they chose that and chose that piece. You know, it tells them what happened. So